Alrighty. Today's scripture reading can be found in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. That is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. When you get there, please stand for reverence to God's word. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. It reads, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." We praise God for his holy word. And as we've spoken many times before, remember, we hold this above our heads to show its authority and power over our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Alrighty, just so that we can get this clear and out of the way, alright, this message is going to irritate some people, it's going to tick people off, it's going to frustrate you, and I'm pretty sure it might even make you look at me and be very angry, okay? Why? Because it first did it to me. This is what I call God playing Mike Tyson punching you in the face, okay? Because this is known as the great wake-up call that some of us really needed, and I myself really needed it. Did I like it? No. Did I hate it? Absolutely. And was I angry? Completely. And so I was pre-warning you guys, there's a very good possibility that you might leave here today, might be not so happy, maybe a little angry. Why? Because God doesn't like to play around anymore. He's tired of playing tag. He had to call me out on it, and he's going to call a lot of other people out on it. So, first and foremost, what are we talking about today? Today we're talking about foundation. And as you know anything about a foundation, it is quite required. Without it, the house is going to fall over. I don't recommend you building a house without a foundation. It probably will not look good. So, as we go through this, what is our foundation? First and foremost, you and I have a foundation most likely set by our parents. Very important, you need to understand this, is that a child up to the age of 12, okay, will learn by what they see. Okay, that's from any optometrist, psychologist, or doctor. They do not learn from the fact of feeling it or you teaching it to them, because it goes in one ear and out the other. And if you're a parent, if you haven't realized that yet, I'm sorry to let you know this, your kids don't listen, okay? They don't listen. They learn by what they see. So whatever you replicate, whatever you do, they are going to learn from that. So whenever you use this nice little phrase, "do as I say, not as I do," guess what? They're going to do as you do. They will not listen to what you are saying. Okay? So when you say, "don't run," you know what they do? They run. Okay? That's what it is. That's how it goes. So by learning this here, here is the punch in the face. Paul says, he opens up, he has laid a foundation as an expert builder. So he laid this foundation, so he had to be taught it. He's been taught it from young to old. So this is the foundation that needs to be laid, but it had to change for him. So what was the foundation that was laid? What is your foundation? Who taught it to you? Was it your mother? Was it your father? Was it a family member? What is it they laid out? So here it is. As your foundation, what is your God? Now, obviously, many of us are going to say, well, obviously, God is my God, and Jesus, that's his name. Well, I'll take you into 2 Kings. 2 Kings says that they worship the Lord our God, yet they could not give up their other gods. I'll take you to the book of Exodus, where we all know about the golden calf. Okay, we all have heard it, we've read it. But the thing is that many people have never really dissected it. If you actually read through it, as we talked about this during Sunday school one time, if you noticed that one day they said, Moses is taking too long to come down from this mountain. Let's build ourselves a god so that things will move along quickly. So that day they built a golden calf, but if you read it correctly, it says, tomorrow we will worship the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Yahweh Jehovah. They were not talking about the golden calf. They were talking about the great I am. That's what we do. When things don't move fast enough for us, we build other gods. So, what are some of these gods that we have built and we continually turn them into our foundation? Number one, food. I know that's, people look at me and say, what are you talking about? Food, really? This is not like this is a new thing, okay? If you go into the Gospels, we've heard that Christ fed the 5,000. All right? But when he left, they came chasing after him. Why? What did Christ say? You didn't come because of who I am, because I fed your bellies. They cared about the food. So, how do you say, well, how does that relate to today? How is it that food becomes my God? Anybody ever get depressed? Anybody get frustrated, angry, and the first thing you do is run to the refrigerator and call the comfort food? Guess what your crutch is? Was it Jesus? Was it his word? It's a comfort food. So, who just satisfied you? Who just comforted you? Who took away your hurt? Who took away your anger, your frustration? Who took that away? Taco Bell? I like Taco Bell. I just had to use Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell. My wife took me to Taco Bell yesterday. I was satisfied. I even had one of those Dr. Pepper vanilla slushies. Dude, I tell you what, those things rock. I can't lie. They're so good. But we can relate with that. And so if you want to know something, I don't know about you, but I like going to Burger King or McDonald's. I'm pretty sure that people here can agree with me on that, right? Is there anything wrong with going there and getting yourself Burger King, you know, the Whopper, or McDonald's, the Big Mac, because I don't want to trademark here, okay? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Is there wrong with having five of them? Yes. Okay, but do you see how it works, though? We easily get entangled up into our comfort food. Okay, so food is number one. What can else be that? Okay, so we got that one down. Okay, most children are gone. Second one, sex. Sex turns into what I needed to be for me. You know, Paul stated that, you know, for a husband and wife, that your body no belongs to you, and that the body no belongs to the husband or the wife. If it goes across each other. But you cannot force them into it, or you cannot run your satisfaction and happiness off of being a physical partner. Many people today, how does it work off of that? Pornography? Pornography. Do you know that the industry of pornography makes more money than if you took the NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, put all four of them together, and the gross profits, pornography is higher than all four of them put together. Wow, what a God that is. I run to it, it makes me happy. I run to it, it satisfies me. It pleasures me. It takes care of me. It doesn't say anything back to me. Who am I hurting? Do you know that any psychologist will tell you that anybody that gets caught up in the gameplay of pornography will never, ever, ever maintain a single relationship due to the fact of the matter is that what they see in front of them, they try to replicate, and no human being can ever do that because it's abnormal. So there's a breakdown of marriage, breakdown of friendships, breakdown of families, all because I need to have my God. Okay, so we got that one. So off of that one there, what else comes? Okay, so we have food, we got sex. What about entertainment? How many people just need to be entertained? You know what I mean? Because if you take this back to the 60s, okay, most people didn't have TVs. Most people don't have TVs. You didn't just run down to the movie theater. You didn't run to the amusement park. You didn't just go off to the beach. But now I got to be stimulated. I have to be. I have to be stimulated. There's nothing wrong with all three of these things so far that I've talked about. But you got to put them in their correct biblical perspective. So the entertainment, if you're not able to look at God and say, you satisfy me, when you're going to say, I need to be satisfied, so I need to have entertainment. I need to have TV. I need to have music. I need to go to the beach. I need to go to the movies. I need to go out to dinner. I need to, you know, do something. I got to stimulate myself because I can't take care of it. I got to be stimulated. I got to be stimulated. So now the God kicks in and says, well, God, you're not enough. I need more. I need more. So we got food. We got sex. We got static. Entertainment. How about success? I think we can all relate with this one. Success. I need to be the best at my job. Is there anything wrong with that? No, because God tells us to work hard and to bring glory to His name. But does that say work 70 hours and give up on my family? Does it say that compromise my values, compromise my ethics, so that I can be the best? Knowing that the job that I have right now, as we talked about this before in Sunday school, I'm happy with it. It may not pay as well as this one over here, but I'm happy. I love this. This is my heart. But I'd rather do this over here and be so stinking miserable, but man, it's paying me $80,000 a year. Because $40,000 wasn't enough. $80,000, man. Because if you never noticed one thing, this is the big thing in America. You ever see people, how are they identified? I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a construction worker. I'm a warehouse worker. You know what I mean? I'm a carpenter. I'm an electrician. That's how we are identified. I'm identified with my success. Whoever is identified by just being alone, I'm a child of the one true King. We're identified with what we do. I'm identified by my success. And then we stipulate it off of that because we say that this occupation is better than this occupation. My success is better than your success. And I'll hold it over your head. So now my success has become my God. I'll work 7 days a week. Well, it's okay. I can't make it to church because I got to work more hours. Now, do not get me wrong, okay? There are times when you have to work on Sunday. Okay, let's not get that confused, okay? Please don't get that confused. But if you're able to get your priorities straight, because remember, you got to keep the hierarchy straight. The best hierarchy that you can look at it is a lot of people like to button their shirts from top down. I do not because I get that confused, okay? But that's the reason why. Because if you ever go from top down and you miss a button, what happens to your shirt? It's all messed up, right? And you got to start all over again. It's the same thing with God. If God doesn't, He's not your first button, dude, it's a mess all the way down. So we got to keep that prioritized. My success does not define me. So after success, what about achievement? Now, I don't look at hand to hand. Yes, somewhat they do. But the achievement, you know, some people have to really show off their accolades. Look at my nice car. Look at my nice house. Look at my nice clothing. Look at all these things that I have. Look at them. Due to my success, look at my achievements. And people like to let you know about it. I'm the best wrestler, I'm the best football player, I'm the best musician, I'm the best dancer, so on and so forth, because I'm the best. And I like to show off about it. Is there anything wrong with you taking pride in your work? You better believe you better take pride in your work. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes over the top and you now become prideful with it, that's a problem. Okay, so we got that down. What about money? Money has now become my God. You ever realize that someone who has money, they always want more? They're never happy. They work longer hours. They say goodbye to their wife, to their kids. They give up on principles. They compromise. And money has now become a thing. These are the ones that always take that extra look into the offering plate because they want to be realized that they're giving more than anybody else. You know what I mean? They care about how much people spend and how much they spend and how much they bring in. You know, it's money has become that cause. Okay, so we got that. So we got entertainment, success, money, achievement, romance. Romance has become my God. How can romance become my God? I want to let everybody know here, and I'm sorry to let you guys know this, Prince Charming or the beautiful princess in the Disney movies is not waiting across the corner. Okay? It's not happening. So I'll let you know that. So when you try to base your relationship off of Hollywood happiness, I'm going to let you guys know this, it's going to fail. Why? Because they're human and they're going to let you down. Okay? So if you didn't know that, sorry, I just broke your heart. Here it is. They are going to fail you. My wife is going to fail me, I'm going to fail her, and my kids are going to fail me as well. Okay? It's going to happen. You will not find your total enjoyment through another human being. It's not going to happen. Because guess what they'll do? You're going to put so much stipulations into this relationship that when they can't reach it, you will say that the marriage or this relationship is over. As we talked about this morning, I'm going to let you guys all know that no woman wakes up in the morning with beautiful hair and makeup on. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Sorry if you guys haven't realized that one yet. I'm sorry. I'll let you know that when we both wake up in the morning, we both have terrible breath. And there's days when my wife will say it to me and I'll say it to her, please do not roll my direction. It's just the way it is. Okay, but we're not built on romance. We're built on, I love her because of who she is and she loves me for who I am. That's how it is. Yeah. You calm your horses back there. I see it. Yeah. Okay, so that one. What about family? How can family become my God? Does anybody ever say the reason why I'm living is so that I can take care of my wife and my kids? I gotta take care of them. You know what I mean? And I gotta work so hard because my son wants a brand new Xbox, or you know, my daughter wants to go to do so and such, or so on and so forth. Because their happiness is everything. Their happiness is everything. Now, is there anything wrong with these things? No. But you understand is that if you put these in the wrong perspective, because you'll start giving up on the correct things and start stipulating your life off, man, my son, the only reason I'm happy is because I have my son. My son's my heart, or my daughter's my heart, or, you know, my wife is everything to me. Now, remember that they are so important. But you see how we just tilted them above God? We tilt them above God. You know, Paul stated that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, how he stated that, I'm so happy that I'm not married and I wish more people were like me because people have made their spouses their gods. And I got to do everything for them. I'm not my wife's God and I'm not my kid's God. God's their God. And that's something I had to learn over time because I just thought I had to do everything for them. But you don't. So if you accumulate all these together, they equal one thing. Who then is God? Food, sex, entertainment, success, money, achievement, romance, family. Then who is God? Oh, wait a minute. Me. I am God. The first thing you need to realize is that there is a God, and guess what? I am not him. That's accomplishment number one. But there's only one person can sit on the throne. And how many times do we tell God, that's me. I'm God. Give me more. More pleasure, more entertainment, more romance, more family, more money, more success, more achievement, more accomplishment. Give it all to me because I am God and you are not. But I'll confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, but I'll show you with my actions that I can't give up my other gods. I can't give them up. Now, out of all those things, is there anything wrong with any of them? No. Put them in the right perspective. So, how do you put all these things into the right perspective? Okay, so first and foremost, we have to take care of ourselves. We ourselves first need to be taken care of. Once we take care of ourselves, we go to the second part. What foundation is laid for this church here? What is it built upon? Now, we can all in unity hopefully say it's built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. But is that true? Is it about money, power, accomplishment, success, prestige, notoriety? What is it about? We say claiming the valley. I love that. We say claiming the valley. Remember, I'm not here to point at anybody and say, no, it's not. Okay, we're just trying to bring everything into the limelight, okay? That's all we're trying to do. So I want all of us to take a look at ourselves because our number one goal is to continually grow, okay? Our purpose to be on this earth is to bring glory to God. That's the number one purpose and goal. So as we go forward with it, is that what we're doing? Or is it about, look what we've done? As we talked about this past week, you guys did an awesome job with the community garden. Awesome job. Was that there to bring glory to God, or look what we did? So I'm not calling anybody, I'm not saying that at all, okay? So please don't take that as I am. I'm just asking that you guys to just take a look at yourselves and say, was that there to bring glory to God or bring notoriety to the church and myself? What was it there for? Okay, when we do the block party, which is coming up, is it there to bring glory to God and hopefully save lost individuals, or to bring, hey, there's a church here and it's Grace Community? More notoriety. And we want all the publication out there. We want it all out there. And obviously, you know, this church isn't about money, okay, because obviously we don't have any. But there's many churches that are out there that's all that it is. You didn't give your tithe, you can't come. You didn't give enough this time, you know what? You're no longer a member of the church. Is that what the church is about? Is that what it is? I mean, I've talked about this morning. I said, you know, there's two things that drove me crazy. My mom knows this one. She loves this pastor, Joseph Prince. I can't stand the guy. Can't stand them. Why? Because the first thing that came out of his mouth when he said that he wants you to be inherited with the Abrahamic covenant, and that means that God will pour out riches on you. Really? Is that the truth? Is that the truth? Because what if I lived in poverty the rest of my life, man, but I love Jesus? Does that mean I'm not a good Christian? Or I went to a Pentecostal church, and they told me that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Really? Because didn't Paul say that's the least of all the gifts? So, I'm not wealthy, and I can't speak in tongues, just so you guys all know that. Does that mean I'm not saved? Is that what it is? So, is that what the church is built upon? Money and prestige? Is that what it is? Is that what the church is being built upon? Money, prestige, accomplishments? So if that's what we're built upon, okay. So I hope that it's not. I pray that this church and our lives are being built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Please take a hard look at it, because for many of us, we can say with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, but take a hard look, because that's what I had to do. I've been saying it for so long that Jesus is my God, but I'll let you know that success was it. I needed to have the best position. I loved the idea of being a counselor and the idea of being a pastor. I love that idea. But when God took everything away, I didn't really care that much. I cared about where's the income coming from? Who's taking care of my wife? Who's taking care of my kids? God was no longer on the throne because he was never there in the first place. He had to show it to me. He had to take it all away so I could actually see for what it really was. He called me out on it. Man, I was ticked off with him. Oh, I was so angry. He had to strip everything away so I could truly see that God was not sitting on the throne. Achievement, accomplishment, success, and family were higher than he was. Got to call it as it is. So I pray that you guys do not have to get to where I had to get to. Take a good, hard look before it has to get that far. Take a hard look. Because is God truly sitting on the throne, or are other things sitting there? So after Paul got done with that, we looked at our foundation. He says, be careful how each one should be careful how he builds. So what do we use to build? It should be love, grace, and mercy. These are what usually is used to build today. Gossip, slander, lies, and hatred. Good building tools. Good building tools. But that's what we use today. Gossip, lies, slander, hatred. That's what we're using to build today. So now that we've got our tools, it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have established that. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, or hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. All right, so now we stand before God. We're there before him, and I have built my foundation of me with lies, anger, hatred, mistrust, so on and so forth, and I'm going to stand there before God and say what? That's about it. That's all I can say. But I've confessed that you're Jesus and you are my God. And he says, away with me. I knew you not. Because remember, he says, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Remember, that is an intimate relationship. The thing is, though, is that it's just wordplay. It's just wordplay. Because my heart, I don't give to you. I want to keep that myself. I want to keep that myself. Because I don't want to crucify my dreams. And I don't want to love you more than I love my wife and my kids. And as he says, you know, let the dead bury the dead. I don't want to forget what's in the past. I want to hold on to it. And then he said, let me first run home and say goodbye to my family. And he says, one can't plow while turning around. Dude, whatever you say this is God's, this is God's. You can't say you can have this much, but not this much. If you want to dive in, you got to dive in. There is no just creeping into the pool. Because by the time you might finally get in, your day might come and it's over. It's over. And what are you going to say to God? Well, best of luck to you. And these are things he's had to show me. And oh, dude, I can't tell you how angry and frustrated I was, because there's nothing worse than being called out. And no one likes getting called out. No one likes it. But God had to. He had to call me out on these things. So after we stand there and go before him, he says that it'll bring light to it. So it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So what are you doing today about God's glory? Are we taking our talent, digging a hole, throwing it in the ground, and saying, well, at least I'm saved. The rest of you, that's your problem. But at least I'm saved. Or are we going out, fulfilling the Great Commission, and are we making disciples? Because my greatest excuse was, I'm too busy, I'm tired, you know, I've worked 8-10 hour days. I don't want to do anything else. You know, I got the kids I got to take care of, my wife. I don't really have time for anything. You know, I go to the prison. I take care of the youth. Isn't that enough? No. No. Because while I'm at work, who am I witnessing to? Who am I testifying to? Do people see that I whine, cry, and complain, or do I bring glory to his name? What are we doing? So what are we doing today? When the week comes up, because church is going to come soon to an end and very shortly, do we run out the doors and say, at least I did my part and I'm good to go for the week? That's on us. That's on us. Because what I'm saying then is that it's lip service, and the God of me is so much more important. Give me my job, give me my success, give me my accomplishment and my achievement. Give me all these things, these riches and glory, and I will be happy. And then I'm home with the Lord and I might have accepted Christ, or I made a hypocritical statement and he might just let me in with a little smoke on me, or he'll say, "Away with me, I knew you not." Remember, the book of James clearly says it out. Many of us have faith, but I'll show you my faith with my deeds. Where your heart lights, so does your treasure. And inside your heart is a wellspring, and sooner or later it's going to come erupting and pouring out, and the truth will be displayed as what it is. So, as we wrap this up today, what foundation is laid out? What are you laying out for your kids, for your grandkids? Why you're here for the kids that are sitting in the pews? Do they irritate you and anger you so you lash out and say, "Be quiet"? Is that how we respond? Is that what we do? But you look at them, they won't shut up. Is that how we respond? Because the kid just sees anger and frustration. Is that what we want to build up? Is that church is nothing but a set of rules and you need to be quiet? Or do we want our kids to have fun and excitement and realize, dude, having fun with Jesus, man, there's nothing more exciting about it, because if my mom and dad and the people here have fun and they're excited and they're smiling and happy, then why can't I? Because remember, the little eyes are upon you. So what foundation are you laying for your kids? And what foundation are you laying for the younger brother and sister that are beside you? Or those who are a little bit immature in their faith? What are we laying out to them and to the non-believers? Because are we saying that this is just a building full of people? Or is this, who cares about the building, man? This is a jubilant, happy, excited, passionate individuals, loving, full of the glory of Jesus Christ. What foundation are we building on? That's up to us. I don't want anybody to have to get to where I got to. But if you get that far, please do not refute the discipline of the Lord. Don't refute it. Because he loves you so much, he wants to put you in that right standing with him. It's a great opportunity. But I don't want you to get that far like I had to. Take a hard look right now and see, what is your true foundation? What are you building upon? What tools are you using to build upon it? And when the storm comes, and I'm going to let you know, the storm will come, will it stand? I hope so. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, praise you and thank you, Lord, that as sometimes we really need to get called out about who our God really is. Lord, am I God? Is my family God? Is my job God? Is money God? Are you really God? Your word tells us that we can not have two masters. We will love the one and hate the other. We'll serve the one and despise the other. Father God, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that if we need to really get called out, Father God, please, Lord, I pray, Lord, you do it with a passionate heart, Lord, that loves us so much. Because you don't do it because you hate us. You do it because you love us. And you call us out on these things, Lord, because you deserve to be glorified, because as it says, your name is a jealous God. And you deserve our glory. You deserve our praise. You deserve every moment and every second of our lives. And that you've blessed us with a wife or a husband, with children, with grandchildren. You've blessed us with these things, Lord, but let us not place them higher than you. You bless us with a job. You've blessed us with finances. You've blessed us with achievement or accomplishment and hard work, Lord, but may we not place them higher than you, because, Lord, at a moment's time, you can take it all away. Father God, Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that we just really come to praise you and worship you. And if we need to take a hard look, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you give us a hard look with your eyes and not our own. Lord God, you're a wonderful foundation, our rock and our cornerstone. For your holy name, we pray this, Lord. Amen.